Britain's new Prime Minister, Theresa May, has taken office, promising that the country will forge a bold new role for itself in the world as it leaves the European Union. Speaking in Downing Street after her appointment, Mrs. May said her government would work for everyone, whether rich or poor, and she directly addressed people who she said were just managing.
The government I lead will be driven not by the interests of the privileged few, but by yours. We will do everything we can to give you more control over your lives. When we take the big calls, we'll think not of the powerful, but you.
The new Prime Minister invoked the full name of her Conservative and Unionist Party to defend what she called the precious bond between the nations of the United Kingdom. Mrs. May surprised many with one of her first cabinet appointments, making Boris Johnson Foreign Secretary. Mr. Johnson was one of the leading campaigners to leave the European Union. Here's James Robbins.
The words diplomacy and Boris Johnson have not until now tended to share the same sentence, but suddenly he's Britain's top diplomat, in charge of foreign policy as well as two of the intelligence agencies, MI6 and GCHQ. As soon as Mr. Johnson had been appointed, the new Foreign Secretary spent about half an hour in his new palatial office with the Permanent Secretary and a few key Foreign Office officials. Boris Johnson will have to hit the ground running. He's due to meet his European Union counterparts, the foreign ministers of the other 27 member states, for a working dinner in Brussels on Sunday. Brexit will dominate the menu.
The German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the French President François Hollande have called Mrs. May to congratulate her on her appointment as Prime Minister. Downing Street said Mrs. May had emphasised her commitment to delivering Britain's exit from the EU. The European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker has wished her every success in the task ahead. A BBC correspondent says that although cordial, Mr. Juncker is concerned that the British government appears to be in no hurry to start formal negotiations to leave. The Islamic State group has confirmed the death of one of its top military commanders, Omar Shishani. A news agency linked to IS said Shishani, described by the Pentagon as the militant group's minister of war, was killed in combat in Iraq. Murad Shishani is a correspondent with BBC Arabic.
Most observers who are tackling the issue of the Islamic State, they always put Omar Shishani in the highest ranks of IS. Maybe some people put them in the most important three people or four people. Also, Omar Shishani played a major role in attracting the so-called the North Caucasian fighters towards Islamic State.
World News from the BBC. Reports from Syria say a number of people have been killed in airstrikes and marketplaces in two rebel-held areas in the north of the country. Local activists said at least nine died in the town of Ariha in Idlib province. Meanwhile, the state news agency says rebel shelling over the past few days has done huge damage to the museum in the city of Aleppo. The United States has sent troops to South Sudan to protect the country's embassy in Juba and American citizens there. The deployment of 47 soldiers follows recent violence between rival factions of the South Sudanese army, which has prompted fears of a return to civil war. A further 130 U.S. military personnel in nearby Djibouti are said to be ready to provide support if needed. A court in Zimbabwe has freed a pastor whose social media campaign against government mismanagement prompted a nationwide strike. Throwing out the case, the magistrate said prosecutors had changed the charges against Pastor Ivan Mawarire without warning. This report from Grant Ferret.
Hundreds of supporters of Ivan Mawarire erupted into cheers when he appeared as a free man outside the court in Harare. With a Zimbabwean flag draped around his neck, the pastor told the crowd, many of them holding aloft candles in the darkness, that the struggle against corruption must continue. Prosecutors had initially charged him with inciting violence when he was arrested on Tuesday. They then accused him of attempting to overthrow the government. The magistrate threw out the case, saying he should have been warned of the new charge before appearing in court.
Police in India have arrested a Muslim man, Imran Bartuk, who's one of the main suspects, accused of burning a train in Gujarat state 14 years ago. 60 Hindu pilgrims were killed. Police say he's been on the run ever since. Revenge attacks saw at least 1,000 people, mostly Muslims, killed. BBC News.